Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. This program is for Sunday, September the 20th, 2015. We're going to be looking at some very interesting questions on belief today. What is belief? How do we believe? Is it necessary to believe? So all of this is going to be, well, explored a little bit here, and I hope that you enjoy the program. I want to remind you that this satsang, this radio program, is available to you here on the website at aspire.org due to the generosity and kindness of my sponsors. Sponsorship is the only way in which we are able to create these broadcasts, both on television and here on radio. So if you're enjoying the program, I hope you will become a sponsor. Our mystery donor will match your sponsorship if you become a sponsor. He will match it dollar for dollar, whether it be monthly or quarterly. And that is very kind of him, and that really helps us pay for the airtime. And he has paid for the rest of this year, along with my sponsors. And I want to thank all of them for being so kind and generous. For your sponsorship, you will receive the message of the month. And when we make our new programs on the Beatitudes, you'll be receiving the CD set that goes along with that. I think it's 5 CDs you'll be downloading. And each and every month, as you receive the message of the month, you will be asked to choose any Aspire product as a one-time gift for your sponsorship to thank you for everything that you give that allows us to give back to you. So you can peruse the catalog section here on aspire.org and look around, and if there's anything there you would like, which I would imagine there would be plenty, I would hope, you can choose a product and we will make sure you get it. All right, let's get to the questions here. The first question comes from Kelly in Sacramento. What constitutes belief in us? You don't seem to talk a great deal about it. I have been told that believing is important, is it, Kelly? Kelly, like so many spiritual things in this lifetime and throughout this world, you can't make a person believe, and a person themselves cannot believe. You can't force that issue in any way, shape, or form. Belief, well, it's an emotionality for most people. In other words, gathering my emotions, congregating them in a certain way, creating within my emotionality a certain premise of hope and desire. Hope and desire make up the emotionality of belief. So no matter how you want to look at it, if you have hope and desire and you converge the two together inside you, you will have created the motivation to say, I believe. But it's only, like in my case, it's only Greg that believes. And what does it matter if Greg believes? Greg believed at one time in Santa Claus, in the Easter Bunny, in the Tooth Fairy. Okay, and he had proof of it all. But were those things real? No. And they were kind of a cruel joke, I think, to young people in my era. The whole idea of Santa Claus, that whole lie, as it were, had nothing to do with the reality of what was really going on. So you can believe in anything. People will tell me they need to believe to get well. I do a lot of hospice work. And to tell a person, yes, your belief will make you well, as I've seen ministers do, is a terrible tragedy, I think, to the person who is going through this process of dying. So what is it to believe? Well, as you ask me here, what constitutes the pedestrian mentality of belief is emotionality. But, and there's always that but in there. If you achieve consciousness, if you derive insight through consciousness, through meditation, the practice of disciplining your attentions and posturing yourself within to the silence that lives within you, a whole new world opens up. All new possibilities are there. And it isn't the way the mind thinks. Oh, I'm in a candy store and I can choose any delectable I want. It isn't like that at all. What I have found through my own direct experience is that it isn't a matter of belief. I am just in a different world where the options for my life are totally different than when I was living in my emotionality. It's a totally different world, Kelly. If you achieve this, which anyone can, you start to realize that belief has nothing to do with ideas or ideals, has nothing to do with emotionality at all. The true belief is a form of a knowledge of what is and what is not. You are subject to something other than ideas and emotions. Most people cannot conceive of anything other than emotions, ideas, and ideals. This is that glass ceiling of the pedestrian mentality, where we live only in speculation and hope and desire. But when you start opening up that inner door, that deep inner door, where you and I are not mesmerized by the phenomenon of the world and its outer conditions. When we can persevere beyond all of that and come to that sacred moment where we recognize, and it's a recognition of what Jesus meant when he said, all things are possible. You begin to realize that possibility lies not in what the mind interprets, but what the authentic heart is. And the authentic heart is not emotional. It is, in fact, the only reality there is. It is perennial, not emotional. It exists at every level of our life in one form or another. So instead of being concerned about our survival and our comfort and our pain and our sorrow and our joy and our fulfilling of desires that we want to accomplish in this world, we drop all of that. And Kelly, we come to a moment through meditation where there is no mind pitting one thing against another, no thoughts pitting one thought against another thought. We begin to recognize the meaning and the significance of what it is to allow for love, real love, the kindness of love. That love is not emotional. It transcends this. Is the belief that a Jesus talks about, a Buddha talks about, a Lhasa talks about. It is authentic, it is real, and it touches every aspect of our life. What constitutes belief in us, you ask? Well, if you want human belief, than it is emotionality. It is based on the myth of emotions. And if you live by that, you will be very frustrated. And you will not see things for the way they are and what they are. And hence you will, like most of us, assume that you know. And assume that if you say this or that or affirm this or that 100 million times that you'll get it. That it'll eventually come true. Or you can sit in utter silence. Work upon yourself diligently. Live in compassion and loving kindness. Want nothing with all of your heart, as the Buddha said, and you will know what true belief is all about. It is about living in kindness and consciousness. You can do this. Kelly, any of us can do this. It just takes practice. That's why we call this a spiritual practice. It has nothing to do with being eventful. It has to do with being loving and kind and wanting less and less every day. And in that less, the more of your belief will start to surface and you will see it come to life. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. What is a true believer, you know? What are you trying to believe in that your mind won't let you? The mind is geared to emotionality, and there are certain emotions that we congregate inside, and we become subject to our greed, our vanity, our pride. And before you know it, that's the only emotions we have. And how are you going to derive anything that is loving out of that? How are you going to derive consciousness out of that? It would be really, really difficult. The next question comes from Terry in San Diego. Are there some things that some of us just can't believe, hence we'll never get those things? Terry. Never use your powers, the presence of your powers, to alter your physical world. If you do this, you will be using your life against yourself. Use your powers to alter yourself, to change the way you operate within you, to change the substance of your life within you. Never go and try to make this happen or stop that from happening, because everything is as it is, and everything has its course and its karma. And if something is going to happen, it's going to happen according to the karma of which I have held so rigidly to. To change karma is not the point. It is to embrace karma, which is the point. And that's the point that people can't believe in, because they think of karma as either something that rewards or punishes. It doesn't. It remains as a fixture within my life. It is a constant within my life. It is a constant of the circumstances, conditions, of everything that I have done in and throughout many a lifetime. To understand my karma, I must let go of my emotionality. Then my karma changes. And this is the stuff that people can't believe in. You can believe 2 and 2 make 4. But you can't believe why that equation even exists and what it's really all about as far as a part of a bigger experience, a more profound experience. There is more to you than what you may think and believe. There's more to your life than you may think and believe. The only way you will ever know anything is not to know anything. I know that sounds stupid, but it's true. The only way to know anything is not to know anything. The less I know, the more can be revealed to me. You ask me, are there some things that some of us can't believe? I think there are many things that people can't believe. Many things that people don't want to believe. Sometimes the reality of belief shatters everything that a person has in their life. They believed in this, this, and this, and they find out it's totally the opposite. And now they're shattered. One of the things that people have a great difficulty with is that everything they believed in, everything they thought about whatever, life, good, bad, right, wrong, up, down, in, out, was wrong, inaccurate. People have a really hard time with that. So when a person in their mid-30s or 40s or 50s come to me and they want to begin a practice, it is very hard for them, almost impossible, because they have lived their life so willfully in the things they believed in that shaped and molded the kind of person they need to be in order to survive and have people around them. So when a person comes and says, I want to work upon myself, or I want to learn to meditate, why would you do that? You think meditation is about relaxation? It's a hobby. I was on the gate recently. I get my little news snippets from there. I like to see the homes that are for sale and all the fun stuff. There's some really interesting things that go on in San Francisco. It's just really interesting to me. I don't know why, but it fascinates me that people live the way they do. Anyway, they had 10 things, 10 hobbies that would improve a person. And one of them was meditation, because it is believed that meditation will make you smarter. Well, I've been meditating for years, and I can tell you I'm no smarter than I've ever been, and I'm not very smart to begin with, so there you are. It doesn't work like that. Awareness is something you derive out of meditation. And there are some things that you begin to become aware of that are in opposition to the things you might have believed in before through meditation. Does that necessarily make you smarter? I don't know. I don't like these definitions, so I don't go there. But being aware of the bigger picture of my life, being aware of the bigger idea of my life that is beyond the speculation of my thoughts and my emotionality, is very intriguing to me. We are not what we have been taught. Most religions are trying, and philosophies are trying, to teach you how to cope with this world in this lifetime and how to get the things you want, which would constitute, in most people's minds, a better life. I'm telling you, and this will be unbelievable, that having a better life in this world is not the purpose of your living. And that no matter how much you get, it'll never be enough for the things you want and the things you believe in and the things you desire. So why go into all of this? Why do all of this thinking that you can have a better life? Really? Aren't you grateful for the life you have? That's what people can't believe in. They can't believe that they should and can be grateful for their life, and that the mystery and the beauty of their life exists even at the core of it, no matter how unhappy they may think themselves to be. And we think ourselves into misery via our emotionality, and we never question our emotions. Never. People know, this is the way I feel. Well, so? That's how you feel emotionally. What do you feel beyond emotion? I don't feel anything. Yeah. Can't help that person. You got to persevere. You got to go beyond the beyond. Yes. Terry, there are many things that some of us can't believe. And we shouldn't be believing anyway. We should be having the direct experience. Therefore, my emotionality, my need to believe will go out the door. And now I can have the direct experience, which is far better than sitting there and thinking, I need to believe. Just something for you to think about. Terry, thank you for your beautiful question and your kind comments about the TV programs. I deeply appreciate that. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question comes from Andrew, and he doesn't tell me where he lives. It's very interesting. It's about faith. He says, is belief faith? When Jesus said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move that mountain. He was not talking about the emotional faith that most people believe is faith. Believing, having faith. This will go. Now I want you to hear me. Maybe this will help. I don't know. When he uses the word faith, he is not talking about belief and faith in the religious term. He is talking about if you had the awareness, if you had the inner fortitude, the horsepower to get beyond what you think you see for the sake of realizing what is truly there, what is authentically there, you would have the faith of a grain of mustard seed. In other words, it wouldn't take much. Think of faith as your basic intelligence. Not how smart you are, because many of you are very smart, but how intelligent you are. Intelligence has to do with connecting with your direct experience. It has nothing to do with intellect. It has nothing to do with knowledge and memorizing knowledge. That's for the smart people. But for the intelligent, it's how you live from the heart, not from the emotions. And if I live from my emotionality, I will never be able to live from my heart. And if I can't live from my heart, I'm not going to be intelligent. I will make decisions that are based in emotion. And I will never understand why I do the things I do the way I do them. I'll never understand how karma works and how everything I get is in proportion to the karma that I choose to enact upon myself throughout my life. That's how it works. But very few people can understand this kind of intelligence. Just because a person has accumulated wealth or power in this world does not mean that they are rich and that they are powerful. It just appears that way to the person who is basically an emotional believer. When you can go beyond all of that emotionality and come into the realm of awareness, loving kindness, you find the truth of everything, and you find that having things you want, things that kind of take your attentions away from the meaning of life, is not the purpose of living. That is when you become intelligent. When I am no longer distracted by my desires, my ambition, my pride. When I can live in a meditative lifestyle, wanting nothing with all of my heart, that is when we become intelligent. And it is there that we can say to that mountain, move. It is there that we can do all the things that are necessary to sustain consciousness and love in our life, whatever they may be. And it is a metaphor within yourself of moving mountains. Most people just don't understand faith. It is not something you build. It's not something you have or have not due to some kind of affirmation, repetitive thinking or whatever. It is a quality of consciousness that is derived out of silence. It is innate to your inner being, and everyone has it. We just need to awaken to it. I hope that helps you, Terry. I really do. I hope that that brings you some insight. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste. If you have a comment, a question, or something I could help you with, always feel free to go to the top of the page there where it says contact and send me an email. Have a beautiful day, and I want to thank all of you for listening. Please forgive me, won't you? Namaste.